start a wireless on Beach Lake a few years back, and putting out just, since then, we partnered with AT&T. They approached us, and we ended up getting a 500-foot tower. I don't know if you noticed it when you come through FEMA. Our radio station tower, they're brand new, really beefed up, and that's fully loaded. It's almost the capacity as far as space is concerned. We still have a lot of windows. So, from there, we got a signal going to Huntington, a point-to-point, the ball club, and we have a new ball tower and ball club. You might have seen that if you look further north. There's a 400-foot there, 18 teams put that in, that accelerated, as you can see, then up north, the top foot, too. Tower there. So that's where, they're sitting there. The one that's really being utilized fully is the one in being at the 500-foot tower. And doing works with the state. The state's got their armor on it. Enforcement, emergency services, for an Oregon campground. And everybody, and then now the not all the programs are welcome. The state systems to put their wireless onto that. But one of the things that we encountered, that difficulties we've encountered over the time, is that we got 5 telcos on each lake to deal with. And they provide services, but not all of them provide total service. There's spaces, on the reservation for their small service. Years ago, when I was doing telephones, I put in the telephone system at the New Buggin' and Easy School. But it didn't do any good to put up telephones in there because there was no phone service. And you can see it. I mean, the Quest only came so far, and Arrowhead only came so far. Arrowhead picked that up and brought in the line. since then, there's been better communication, better proper connections in those areas. If you look all the data, you just go about where our tower is at, just a little bit past, is the last pedestal for Arrowhead. From there, almost to Federal Dam, nothing. It was dead for 8 cell phones, and there's no copper or fiber at all. So there's places on the trace. And then another problem we have is we applied, when Richard was here, we applied and sent in for financing with SDA. Mm-hmm. The telco was a lobbyist in Washington. Said, hey, wait a minute, our companies provide that service. So we weren't getting their funding to see what we need to get done. And yes, they do provide the service, but it's not complete. So that's where we're at now. We're putting together a program to just go over everything with our towers and start providing wire. That's becoming available. We haven't been able to utilize get into the universal service that we've spoken about, but with wireless, we will be able to get the new portion of mobility again coming out that we'll be able to get into this coming March. So hopefully, we'll be have everything already. We won't have everything already committed to universal service when we get funding for bring it in for the home. And there, I don't know if. If you remember old analog TV, that spectrum that was vacated. Well, most of that got bought up by some of the DVDs, but they're coming out with things now. And what's really interesting and what's really exciting about that is, remember, with our old analog TV, we also had rabbit ears. Well, hopefully the equipment we'll be able to get that coming out, being developed, we'll be able to put that type of thing, that type of connection, a wireless connection into the home is coming off our tower. So that's one area that's really been exciting for us, and we're really looking into it. Everything will be completed. Hopefully that will be available by the spring, we apply for some funding to use it. We have, we developed a new utilities commission on Leech Lake. I'm part of that. I was one that brought that along a few years back. And there, we're not trying to control anyone. We just want to work in partnership with them. And right now, Public Onion is not acknowledging people. So what's that in meetings, you know, with letters, and we got a letter from, I got a letter from a lawyer, law officers, and any office, dating that fast. But the thing is, we collected from them, what where they're applying service on the reservation, and also their right, the original right of way. And they don't, there's none available, there's none on record with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, with Paul Bonin Ford and a couple of the others. And, so that's the area which we're, other areas that we're dealing with. We had some new housing projects go in, have some new housing projects going in now, and that'll be in Paul Bunyan's area, and they're refusing, and that letter will show they're refusing to put services to that, to the new housing area. We asked them why, they said that the commission is stopping them, and we're not. We told them, hey, we need this service, we need that service, we just want to know, you know, go through the proper ways of getting stuff, and they're not. So that's a challenge we have. That, some of the other issues. We are AT&T on their cell service on the towers. They're not universal. They don't have a universal commission in Minnesota, and we're working with them on that so that. Tribal members will be able to get cell service from the AT&T because we already have that relationship with them with the towers, and hopefully that will come in the near future. So, as it was very spotty for cell phones, now it's very good. Signals. I'll figure out kinds of questions.
Okay. Questions, folks?
Have you developed computing centers and on the reservation computing centers and computer areas where computers are available for members to come in and use, like kids and adults, in libraries or senior centers or community centers or anything like that? Have you set up any of these sites?
Yes, Leech Lake has, well, Janet told you about, we have a great appointment, but we had computers in some of the other centers around the community, and we provided broadband too. We have, right behind our EMP, we used to have it, it's still there, but there's over the, I think they kind of closed it down, but we had the senior net, so we had 10 computers in there, they are not aware of us coming right off our college. Then we provided
It's not like we have 5 data centers where we do all our stuff out of, but and besides that, we put in our 3 community centers, we have 4 computer facilities, and all of those were providing computers and everything. What's actually become much more popular is I haven't implemented any wireless business networks, but we put public wireless in all of our community centers, in probably 2/3 of our business buildings where they're open access wireless for the public use. And all the power grounds, and I'm working on right now, there's a campground on Big Lake where they have a language immersion camp, getting public wireless put in there. One of the things surprisingly that the community likes that for is a lot of the grandparents like to Skype their kids when they're at the camp. So we've actually had pretty great success at doing that. Our our, like I said, our challenge is getting it in the homes now.
Fred, a question for you. You referred to the barriers against public-private partnerships. And I'm wondering, are those mostly federal, or are they state, or is it a combination?
Well, unfortunately, I think all I can give you is anecdotal information. I've had almost no resistance whatsoever from our governing bodies in making those partnerships, but a lot of the other entities, like the last one, the one that's most fresh in my mind has to do with the Middle Mile Project. Carlton County and the Public Works and Department of Transportation for the county there wanted to have connectivity put into their buildings coming up, I think they wanted to come up 210. But anyway, they were sitting and talking with Lyle McVeigh, who's spearheading most of the technical stuff on that, and about the costs, and it was kind of outside of their budget for the cost. Now, I want to have another connectivity line that's not covered by any grants because going into a commercial business, pulled in as a physically diverse, redundant connection to our Black River Casino. Now, Lyle had set up a meeting because he was hoping to get these two different governmental entities and myself to partner on the cost because it was the same path, and then it would be split in the cost three ways. Well, Lyle was kind of an advantage because he knew that I was planning on doing it anyway, regardless. But both entities mentioned that there were hurdles about their borders and stuff about allowing them to partner up with a casino. And you know, I'm like, all I could think was, well, how could this be a problem? If you could go back to your governing board and say, listen, it was going to cost us $100,000, and now it's only going to cost us $33,000, you know, to connect this up. But, oh, yeah, we are sharing the bandwidth with the casino. And that they both had mentioned that they were going to have issues getting that to work with their boards. I can't speak to what they were because it wasn't on that side of it, but they did say they had issues.
So that was the county and?
And city. The county road, it was the county road maintenance buildings and the city, some of the city offices. Now, those may not be regulatory hurdles. Those may just be
policy
hurdles. I don't know. Yeah. But pretty consistently for 12 years, we tried to partner up with the entities around us. We kind of ran into roadblocks, and, you know, so we've done most of it ourselves. We've had great success doing ourselves, and it's getting to the point now where we have a lot better connectivity than some of those around us. You know, I mean, when you look at Sawyer, Cromwell,
yeah.
Carlton, yeah, we have far better connectivity than you. But we run into those hurdles. We kind of have the same issue that you used to have with cell phone service. I mean, you're in that corridor where the whole reservation is, you pretty much forget your cell phone working most of the time. Actually kind of amusing because vendors can, you know, speaking to the utility aspect of it, they come in to do presentations, whether they don't call and ask if you have connectivity, or they just assume.
I'm also wondering, excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm also wondering, you referenced problems with wireless technology, and that seems a problem that you don't have. Is that because of the height of the towers, the place height of the towers?
See, that's basically what we ran into. We would have had to put a minimum of 450-foot tower up in five different locations on the reservation to get up far enough above the foliage because pine trees just don't work well with wireless.
Yeah.
And then most of the homes themselves are so surrounded by pine trees, you wind up putting either some sort of a small, you know, 20-foot tower off their roof or something to get above the trees, or they have to cut trees back. And I don't know what the resistance is there, but
probably the FAA.
Well, actually, I that was one of the agencies I didn't have that much issue.
Really?
They told me that I could go 125 feet to the travel center, which is the closest to the airport, and it wasn't going to run into too many issues. The community has real resistance to towers.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones resisting the towers, so kind of took the wireless perspective off the board. And plus, I did the math on wireless, and I tend to build things, the average rotation on servers is 3 years. I tend to build them so that they last 5 to 7. the cost return ratio on wireless just wasn't there for me. The amount of money I had to invest and then turn around and reinvest in 36 months when you started looking at radio failure rate and stuff, it actually, believe it or not, works out in the long run to be less expensive mm-hmm. to do fiber. It's a lot more money up front, but in the long run, it's less expensive.
Have
you done your communities on computer ownership versus mobile device ownership or anything, any type of device ownership? So if you were connected, would they have a mechanism at home to utilize?
I would say on these lakes, if we had our total wireless, all our wireless in place, people would go for it. Now, with the places that we have, like where I'm from in Huntington, we have the 195 foot tower, and we have 7 miles. But the limiting factor is on the other on the homeowners, and you have to have also have a receiver, maybe, and that's quite there. They come down from $200 to about $300, and that's still really expensive. Have it into your home. People don't have that much money to buy that radio.
We've actually done surveys several times, and what we found is it's a little bit like the chicken and the egg argument. Do you have a computer? Well, no. Well, why not? Well, because there's no internet. What we also found, we've done quite a few feasibility studies for a while, we were looking at being a WISP and what have you, is that we have an astronomically high adoption rate. Industry standards figure about 10% adoption when you pull free broadband into a community that already has it, you know, if you're competing with other broadband. We found that, at least in the survey results, and anecdotally based on the number of phone calls I get regularly about it, that we have about a 60 to 65% adoption rate. In other words, 60 to 65% of the people were willing to put money up front to get broadband connectivity. We'll pay for it now if you'll promise we'll have it in X, which was astronomical. But we, you know, but as far as do they have them now, most of them don't have computers because they can't really use it, utilize it at home. They come to the community centers and school, and we got a couple training centers we built and stuff. They come and use those because they're connected.
Come in a different direction a little bit. Do either of you have any issues or regarding rights of way and other providers coming through and have a process, permitting process, that sort of thing? One of the things that my group is looking at is are there roadblocks and barriers in getting other providers into your areas that deal with right of ways and getting them in, you know, your middle mile pieces and place. I mean, if either of you have dealt with any both wireless and wired sometimes holiday issues.
I think with the utilities commission, what we've done was we notified all the carriers on that service Leech Lake and let them know about the commission and that to come to the commission and we'll work with them on identifying who needs what service they need. Most have been Paul Bunyan is there. Harvey's been really they're stuff that they've been holding backwards to bring service down to Leech Lake. Quest, they were there, but they didn't make any effort to put got the money from Universal Services to provide it, but they didn't. So those are the main ones in the Cass Lake area. But around the reservation, of course we have Baldoni on the east end here. Then in the middle we have Johnson Telephone over there by Rima, and Arrowhead in the middle at Dino. There, we notified them also that getting right away to come to the utilities commission. It's just a short form and letting them know that, you know, we agree and that we cooperate.
So you've got a good system.
Yeah, we have a pretty good system.
Okay.
right?
No, we really haven't at all had any issues. The only issue we had in the past, a little bit of an issue with when we were trying to get different carriers and poll fees with Minnesota Power. The poll fees were just astronomical, and so it tended to discourage anyone to bring service up the road any further. Although there's been some movement and legislation on that, still haven't completely washed out what it's going to wind up doing to the whole thing. That's a part of it. And the other is actually infrastructure availability. I mean, we worked with AT&T and a couple other cell providers to put in, we were going to build them some towers because at one point, again, they had the people want better cell phone service. We were going to build the towers and they were going to hang their antennas on it. There was no way to connect them. The infrastructure when their power wasn't there and those things. And then in the end, the cooperation kind of fell apart because it became pretty fiscally unattractive for them by the time that they had to pay for all that. I mean, I know we were just going to run a T1 line to our new radio station out on the other, where the tower is out from Brookston. And Bus told us that it'd be $150,000 with connectivity to it.
Is Lyle dealing with any of that?
Actually, Lyle and I work pretty close together on that. We're doing it ourselves, you know, through cooperation with Northeast Service Cooperative or our stuff, and we've actually leased a little some of our private fiber back to Northeast Service Cooperative and stuff. And it's getting better. But as far as right away, it's not an issue.
I think we have time for one more. Bernadine?
Yes, please. I wanted to follow up a little bit on Dan's question. I had two questions about the I'm wondering if you have any thoughts to the task force about how we might help with that or how that issue might be represented in our report or what opportunities do you see to take next steps to resolve that recognition issue that you're challenged with?
Well, one of the, what we discussed on that is that we're not going to, my suggestion is that we do not litigate, but it's a long time, and what I suggest is that we go to the BIA and see if they issue right away, because they had the authority for 12 years. Why didn't they keep the records? If they did issue right away, all the names and some of the others. We're looking at, well, one of our main things, underlying problems, lack of money. Okay. A treaty 1855 provides for anybody that costs
Madam Chair,
yes.
I just wanted to comment on something that Mr. Reese said. My company, PrayerQuest, does not receive USF money. So you had mentioned that we took money and didn't deploy services.
Exactly.
I'm with CenturyLink now, but we acquired Quest. My company does not receive USF funding. So I just wanted to clarify that for the record.
On the report we got, Quest did receive it.
And your Quest didn't, but CenturyLink exchanges for CenturyTel and embarked into either. But some of those small CenturyTel exchanges did receive USF.
Correct. But not for the Catholic exchange.
Maybe not Catholic. I'm just trying to think of, like, this isn't in the area, but like the Gunflint Trail would have received. And there may be some really small exchanges that were sold off by the old U.S. West to CenturyTel that did.
Well, maybe we could clarify that just so we're accurate in the information that is being presented here.
Yes, give me a number and I'll send you on your email. I can get you that information because I received that from the amount that Quest did receive.
All right. Anything else? We want to thank you guys for coming. Thank you very much. Please greet Chair Diver for me, good friend. And we appreciate you participating today. Thanks. Before we go to work groups, we've had another elected official join us. Representative Tom Anzalk has joined us. Would you like to say something to our group? We gave everybody else the opportunity for greeting.
It's nice to see you again, Martin.
Nice to see you, Tom.
My interest in your issue and in your work, first of all, I apologize for coming in late and interrupting your meeting.
Okay.
My interest, of course, is E-12 public schools. For three terms in the legislature, I've sat on that committee. And, of course, technology and all of its implications and potentials and possibilities, what those of us in rural Minnesota, especially those of us in property-poor areas of rural northern Minnesota, realize is one of the equalizers. One of the strategies funding mechanisms that can really equalize educational opportunities for all kids. And I appreciate what you all do. I certainly appreciate what Margaret is doing with the governor's task force on broadband and technology, and keep it going. We need you to be successful because we need our kids to be successful.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for making some time to come here. The next portion of our meeting is a portion that you are all welcome to sit in and watch the subgroups. We have two subgroups that will meet this morning. We'll have coordination across government levels, Dana, right? And the best practices incentive subgroup, Dick Schoberg, will be leading that one. What we do with our subgroups is people are assigned to those subgroups because of their preferences. But then if someone is not in one of these two subgroups, we invite them to attend one of these subgroups as well. We break the meeting into two parts so that we can cover some ground. We do have a report due here in September, so it's important for us to have some work time. So our work time is 11:15 to 12. And Matt, are we staying in this room with both groups? One group probably could work here, and then is there another space table or something, or
yeah, I'll check on maybe I'll find something.